In nature, a wildfire is one of the most devastating natural forces. It burns hot and fast and leaves little behind but ash and char. Or so it seems. Very soon after the fire passes through the forest, life returns. Shrubs and weeds that clogged the forest floor have burned away, leaving space for new trees, grasses, and flowers to emerge and flourish. Habitats are created, bringing new insects, birds, reptiles, and mammals. A cancer diagnosis can feel like a wildfire, our bodies becoming this new, fire-clarified landscape. For some, cancer changes utterly everything. For others, cancer brings greater clarity and purpose. And some of us are still searching for what life after a cancer diagnosis will look like. Welcome to The Burn. We are exploring stories of life and transformation following a breast cancer diagnosis. I'm April Stearns, the founder and editor of Wildfire Magazine and the host of this podcast. Today, we are going to go back to our summer issue, our travel issue, and pull out a story. So I know that we are recording this now in November. Maybe you're listening to this in January or February. The snow is falling. Things are cold, cold, cold. And so I'm coming to you today with a travel adventure, a mermaid travel adventure. I'm so excited. So my guest today is Tara Coyote. Tara is an equine facilitated learning instructor and author. She was diagnosed at 46 with stage 4 breast cancer. Tara is the founder of Wild Horse Sanctuary in Kauai, Hawaii, equine facilitated learning instructor, workshop leader, author, dancer, wannabe mermaid, and best-selling author of Grace, Grit, and Gratitude, a cancer thriver's journey from hospice to full recovery with the healing power of horses. Her book is about overcoming adversity, taking a deep dive into the challenges that come from loss, the ancient goddess Inanna, and her own harrowing health journey, and how her horses have played a significant role in her miraculous healing with cancer. Tara happily lives on her beloved tropical island with her animals in an off-the-grid yurt and is grateful to be alive. She believes it is always possible to find beauty within the greatest tragedy and that every challenge is present to serve us for our own highest growth. So Tara, you are coming to me live from your yurt. Animals abounding, sounds abounding. Welcome so much to The Burn.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you.
I'm so happy to have you here. So like I said, you are going to be taking us on an adventure straight out of our travel and adventure issue. This was the first time Wildfire did such an issue, and it was so much fun seeing all the submissions we got and all the stories we got. Tara's story is called Mermaid. And after she reads, we'll chat. And those of you listening, stay tuned to the very end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. All right, Tara, I'll let you take it away.
Great, thank you so much. Why not lug a 30-pound fabric mermaid tail halfway across the world? After all, isn't life all about finding joy in obscure places? Yes, I am the crazy woman with ringlet chemo curls who boards a plane with a brown felt hat, leather fringe jacket, funky teal cowgirl boots, and a large mermaid tail backpack. Traveling with an aqua blue mermaid tail bag definitely turns some heads and garners attention, but after being referred to hospice 4 years ago with cancer throughout my body and surviving that debacle, I have learned not to give a hoot what others think of me. Life is short, why not live it fully? I've always been fascinated with the concept of mermaids. From a young age, I've collected mermaid art and treasures. With six planets in the astrological sign of Pisces, being immersed in the water in many ways feels more normal to me than to be on land. The water is where I find my freedom. As my father's side of the family is from Kauai, Hawaii, I've been fortunate to frolic in languid, warm, tropical water since my childhood. I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in September 2016. Due to being highly traumatized from my best friend dying a year earlier from acute myeloid leukemia, I chose a natural route of healing. I could not handle facing the hospital environment where I had spent endless months with her throughout her illness. 2.5 years after diagnosis, the cancer progressed to be stage 4, throughout my lungs, liver, spine, adrenal gland, and hips. At this time, I could not deny anymore that my life was in danger. In the winter of 2019, I was referred to hospice. After having two of my best friends die young from cancer, I knew the dire impact a direct loss had on close friends, family, and children. My beloved son Willow was 26 years old at the time. I did not want him to face the heartbreak of losing his mother at a young age. It was my love for him that made me face my greatest fear, which was doing chemotherapy treatment. I went through 9 months of grueling treatment. During that time, I almost died a few times, ended up breaking my hip from bone metastasis, and had to have double hip surgery. I made it through treatment with the assistance of non-toxic medicine to keep my immune system strong. Since I finished treatment in February 2020, the cancer has steadily decreased. I was elated in the fall of 2022 to be told I was NED, no evidence of disease. I never thought I would hear those magical words. It's been a turbulent last few years. When my life was severely in danger, my beloved mother was also diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. As I slowly healed and recovered, she declined. She sadly ended up dying in the fall of 2021. My mother and father had been life partners, and my father could not live without his queen of almost 60 years. He was absolutely bereft without her and passed 4 short months after my mom in March 2022. 6 months after my dad tragically died, my brother and I sold our lifelong family home, the only home we had ever known. The death of both of my parents has been incredibly heartbreaking. I walked around like a zombie for most of 2022. With the shock of one cataclysmic situation after another. At times, I did not know how I would make it through the tremendous grief that threatened to submerge my soul. Somehow, in the middle of this experience, I remembered my love of the water and my lifelong fascination with mermaids. As I live in Kauai, Hawaii, I started swimming daily. Something about submerging myself in the ocean was a temporary reprieve from the heavy blanket of sorrow I was feeling. The water eased the tundra of pain, trauma, and loss in my heart. I felt free, held, and safe in the womb-like sea. I ended up traveling to Maui, Hawaii, and spent time with a professional mermaid named Aqualina at Maui Mermaid School. She let me use one of her fancy tails, took me into the ocean, showed me creative mermaid swimming moves, and did a photo shoot with me. It was an ecstatic experience. I laughed and smiled for the first time in what felt like forever. This experience started to crack the heavy weight of grief, shock, and trauma that I experienced with both of my parents' deaths. I ended up buying my own mermaid tail and swam as often as I could in the tranquil waters of my beloved garden island. Exploring the underwater world with the green sea turtles, exotic tropical fish, and pushing my comfort zone through diving deeper and holding my breath underwater has been the healing I yearn for to find happiness again. When traveling recently to Arizona, I realized I could bring my tail and partake in more mermaid delight. Why not push my comfort zone and explore swimming in a cactus-surrounded swimming pool? Since I have embraced mermaiding, I have done playful photo shoots in the snow in Northern California, in the hot 90-degree weather of Arizona, and beautiful Maui. I figure I can easily metamorphosize from a snow, desert, and tropical mermaid with a flick of my tail. Months after my initial experience, I ended up getting certified as a PADI Certified Advanced Mermaid on Maui. This certification means that I can swim 80 feet underwater with one breath, swim with a tail in the ocean, perform specific mermaid swimming tricks, and can perform basic life-saving skills in the water. I am proud of this feat. Who says a stage 4 cancer thriver can't be a real mermaid? It's pretty humorous experiencing and seeing the curious responses I receive when I show up in a public place wearing a tail. double takes and questions like, is that a real mermaid tail? Are common. Kids constantly ask, are you really a mermaid? I love how it brings out a sense of childlike jubilation in others. As I am still journeying with stage 4 cancer, I am aware of how fortunate I am to be alive. My philosophy is to live large, as I have no idea how long I will be blessed to be upon this planet. I aim to do the things that challenge me on a daily basis. This October, I am thrilled to share that I fulfilled a lifelong dream, which was to swim with humpback whales in Tahiti. I am elated to be healthy enough to carry my tail around the world to swim with these peaceful, ginormous ocean mammals. How can you embrace more of a sense of joy in your life while gently pushing past your comfort zone? Go ahead, make some waves. A cancer diagnosis can be a brilliant opportunity to truly embrace this mysterious dance called life. If you're looking for me, you can find me boarding another airplane, large tail bag in hand, skirting off on my latest mermaid swimming adventure.
Oh my gosh, so much goodness in that. Tara, thank you so much for reading your story. I cannot wait to chat about it with you.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, quick break here and we will hear a testimonial and then we'll come back and get into it. Hi, friends. There is now a wildfire book in the world. It is a big, beautiful compilation of my favorite essays from Wildfire Magazine, spanning all the way back to our first ever issue in 2016 up to the summer of 2022. This book took years to create and is literally the resource I wish I had had when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. This book is called Igniting the Fire Within, and it's made up of 50 essays that really dig into the experience of having breast cancer in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. Every stage of breast cancer is represented, from DCIS to stage 4, from all sorts of walks of life, from all around the world. Our writers go deep and get vulnerable to heal their own experiences and to let others like you know that you're not alone. You will find yourself within these pages. Get Igniting the Fire Within, stories of healing, hope, and humor inside today's young breast cancer community on Amazon in paperback and for Kindle now. Curl up with it today.
Hi, my name is Jen Aubrey. I live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I was diagnosed with stage 2A breast cancer at the age of 50 in 2021. I recently attended a free wildfire pop-up writing workshop for the young breast cancer community. It was just what I needed to get my writing juices flowing. The progression of the writing prompts and the quotes with them were so helpful. As I was writing, things just came out that I had forgotten. It was so therapeutic for me. I also loved hearing other people's stories. I realized that there are so many others out there feeling exactly how I am, with the same struggles, and I want to do something to make it better for others that go down this same path. I can't recommend this workshop enough.
Thank you so much for the love, Jen. Really appreciate your kind words. All right, welcome back. Tara, I'm so excited to just get into all the mermaid goodness that you just shared with us and your philosophy around living large. So thanks again for your story.
Mahalo. It's fun to share.
Yes. Oh, and I don't know if people will hear it, but I can hear roosters going in your background. So you're bringing the whole Hawaii vibe today. I love it.
Yes, they run free here in Hawaii. It's kind of hard to keep them quiet.
Yeah. They don't care about podcasting.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's dig into your story. There's so much goodness in this. And one of the aspects that I really want to focus on is this transformation that you've undergone, or I want to understand more about the transformation, I should say. So tell us about the decision to go to mermaid school. You wrote about how you started swimming in the ocean every day, which I love that. How did you make the leap then to strapping on a tail? And how far out of your comfort zone was that? Or was that right in there with who you were at that moment?
Great questions. I think I was in such a deep place of grief as I was sharing about my parents' death, particularly my dad's death, because it was very traumatic and unexpected. And I was just doing whatever I could to find my way and find my way through the grief. So I was going to Maui anyways to visit a dear friend, and I found this mermaid online. I thought, oh gosh, why not try that? It sounds like so much fun, because I had always been fascinated with mermaids. I have mermaid art all around my yurt. And how far of it was outside my comfort zone? Maybe a little bit, but not that much. I've always had the philosophy, just go ahead and try it, and why not? And you know, give it a try, see if you like it or not. So, but it definitely, you know, took a little bit of courage to go do it. And the mermaid Aqualina was so kind and friendly. It just seemed like a fun thing to do. So I did it.
I love that. Do you remember any fears you had that you had to overcome, you know, to actually go and try it out? Or does it just fit with your philosophy that just try it and you've done it enough that you know that, you know, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. It didn't take that much courage, but I do have to say I almost drowned in Maui many, many years ago. I was in my 20s, so it was a long time ago. So, you know, whenever you've had an experience like that, there is some residual fear in the back of your mind to work through. So it wasn't that prominent because it's been so long of a time. But, you know, that's always there for any of us that experience something dramatic like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you mentioned that you can swim now 80 feet in one breath. Like, there's so many things about being a mermaid and that I hadn't really considered. You know, I thought it was, and you'll have to forgive me for this, but I thought maybe it was just putting on a tail and taking some pictures and swimming a little bit. But what does it really mean to you? What has that unlocked for you? Just in terms of how you live your life, you know, if you can, I don't know, distill it down to what it has taught you or what you take from mermaiding into the rest of your life. I'm curious what that might be.
Sure. It's really what I spoke about in the piece. It's a sense of joy and really embracing that. You know, I've been so close to the edge of death myself, and I've had so many loved ones die around me, that there's this philosophy now that's deeply embedded in me that I didn't have 10 years ago before all this started happening, of like, just live life now. You never know. That's why I went to Tahiti recently, because who knows, when you're journeying with stage 4 cancer, you never know how much time you have. So it's really about embracing life fully. And I've turned some friends of mine onto mermaiding, and it's been really fun to see that childlike sense of joy that comes over them, you know, whether it's swimming or just putting it on, because it's a lot of us women at one point thought about being a mermaid as when we were a little girl, possibly. I can't say everyone was, but it's part of our myth. It's part of our culture in a way. If you look through all the cultures around the world, going back thousands of years, there are myths and stories of mermaids. So it's something deep in our DNA, which is more of a profound topic, but yeah, it's really about living life fully.
Yes. And one of the things I really love about swimming and just being in water is it's one of the places where, and I don't know if this is true for you, so you'll have to tell me, but for me, it's one of the places that I feel the least self-conscious of my body, because I'm just floating or moving with so much less effort than it sometimes takes to move on land. It just feels like my body is more in concert with what I want it to do when I'm in the water. And it feels sometimes scary. I live in California. I live on the coast. We have a lot of ocean and all of that here too. And so sometimes there's a little bit of fear. But mostly it just feels like the warm embrace and the womb-like embrace, like you said in your story. And so I'm just kind of wondering, you know, you've been on this path with your body alongside a cancer diagnosis and all the ups and downs with all of that. And that is still, you know, something that you're facing every day. How does being in the water, I don't know, what is that feeling, or how does that jive with, you know, Cancer Thriver, Tara?
Right. It's exactly what you said. There is this feeling of levity, of lightness. My body feels held. It's very comforting. My body has gone through a lot of damage. Like I said, I had double hip surgery. I've had considerable damage to my spine. My spine at one point looked like a Pac-Man had eaten it. My bones have grown back, but I still have some residual pain. So it's amazing, when I'm in the water, I don't feel any pain. It actually really helps. Whereas if I'm sitting writing for hours, I get a fair amount of back pain. So there's something that is very soothing. And I think it goes back to what you said, being in the womb and a deep sense of comfort. And I also grew up in Northern California, near where you are. So I know how cold the ocean is there. And there's something very healing about the tropical water here in Hawaii, because we're mm-hmm. dealing with 80 degree temperature, whereas you have a much colder range. So yeah, it's just very comforting on all levels. And it also, just one more thing I want to add, you know, living with cancer, you have to have so much courage, as you know, to face each day. And something about being in the water and the open ocean, it gives me a lot of courage to just live my life fully and not let those fears of the diagnosis creep in and affect me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can appreciate that. So you said in your piece that your philosophy is live large, and you obviously had an experience recently with whales, which is about the largest of living I can possibly imagine. Will you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh, I would love to. I just got back a few weeks ago, so it's still fresh in my mind. Yeah, I went out. Well, I went to Tahiti and with a great group of people, about 10 people, and we would go out each day on a boat for about 6 hours. And it was actually a lot of hard physical endurance. I didn't use my tail then because there was no way I could keep up with the group. I had long free diving fins and my mask and snorkel, and we would do several boat drops where they say, okay, the whale's over there, and we'd all jump off the boat and then swim like crazy to get towards a whale. So it was a lot of physical work, like, you know, a heavy workout. Sometimes we'd be in the water for hours at a time, off and on the boat. But just the feeling of seeing these whales sometimes 20, 30 feet away, it was just so stunning. I can't even put into words, just to realize how tiny us humans are with these large evolved creatures. So yeah, it was definitely one of my top life experiences I've had.
My goodness. Yeah, I would imagine, you know, you might still be kind of assimilating this experience, but I wonder, you know, along the lines of, you know, that feeling of being tiny next to something so large, is there one, or maybe more than one, kind of lesson that emerged for you on that trip?
Definitely. One of the things that really struck me is how powerful our bodies are and how powerful mm-hmm. our minds are. I was keeping up with people that generally were around my son's age, which is about 30, and I am considerably older than that. And considering all I've been through with my surgeries, I was just shocked. I'm like, wow, I'm keeping up with people that are so much younger than me after all I've been through. So it gave me a lot of just faith in myself, and just realizing that I'm speaking about myself and all of us, we are so much more powerful than we think we are. If we have that willpower to go forward and do something, like for me, I was like, I'm going to go swim with whales. And I didn't really think about, oh, I might be with people that are much younger than me. I just did it. So it helped me realize how resilient and strong we are if we want to be. And it gave me a lot of confidence in myself and the strength of my body to be able to do these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. So do you have, and this is my last question for you, but do you have any advice for others listening who want to embody your philosophy of living large, but don't necessarily have access to whales or access to, you know, swimming in the ocean. Is there other ways you can suggest to bring that into a life that maybe feels a little bit smaller?
You mean in general about embracing life fully? Yes, yes.
Yeah, or just the live large philosophy.
Definitely. I mean, we all have our comfort zones of what scares us or not. Like, for example, I may sound incredibly brave to do this, but for me, at times, to go to parties takes a lot of confidence on my part because I can have some social anxiety. So I'm just using that as an example that we all have our comfort levels. Like, it might be to go for a hike in the woods or to go talk to a stranger. So I just encourage all of you to gently push past your comfort zone, whatever that may be, and, you know, pull back and take care of yourself if it feels like it's too much. Also, too, those of us going through cancer, we have this diagnosis title looming over us that can keep us from really living life fully. It can limit us if we choose to do it. And this is something I have to work with every day. So just to embrace the situation and gently know that even if you are going through cancer, that you can still do amazing things. You know, you're not limited by this title by any means. In fact, it can help you push beyond it if you choose to let it, if that makes sense.
Right. You can let it be that fire that kind of fuels you onward.
Exactly.
So I said that was my last question, but I actually do have one more for you. I'm wondering what is next on the horizon for you in terms of living large? Do you have anything coming up?
I do. That's funny you ask. So I'm still dealing with the grief, as you could hear when I was reading. I choked up a little bit about both of my parents' deaths. My mom's death anniversary is next week, and it's painful to go through these anniversaries. So what I decided to do, I just booked a trip for next week. I'm going to go swim with sharks in Oahu. Not tiger sharks, but other sharks. Because there's this part of me, it's like, okay, I've come some close to death. I'm dealing with this pain around my parents' deaths. I'm going to live fully, which is something they would have done too. They led safaris around the world. So part of me is like connecting through their spirit. So yes, that's part of me facing my fear as well.
I love that. That's amazing. And we're going to have to find even more giant creatures for you to swim with as you keep crossing them off your list. But I love that so much.
Right. The Loch Ness Monster is next. No, just kidding.
Right. Exactly. Well, Tara, thank you so much. Where can people find you online and follow along with your adventures?
I am all over social media. My main page, it's pretty consistent through most social media platforms, Tara Coyote on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, Tara Coyote, TikTok, Facebook. And I have several other pages. I actually have a mermaid Instagram page, The Kauai Mermaid, if you want to check out more of my mermaiding adventures. That was my fun page, and I enjoy posting photos and videos there. So you can see all about the mermaid life there if you like.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. And we didn't get into it, but people can see all kinds of pictures of your horse life as well. So lots of different dynamics to Tara Coyote. And I love it. Well, Tara, thank you so much for being here with me today. For everyone listening, I hope you will pick up a copy of the Travel and Adventure issue of Wildfire. You can see pictures of Tara in there in her mermaid tail. And Tara has actually been in several Wildfire issues. So we will be sure to link to other stories that Tara has told. But thank you again for being here with me today and bringing us this little tropical postcard to us in the midst of a winter. So I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you all so much. I'm April Stearns, and you've been listening to The Burn. The Burn is a production of Wildfire Magazine, where we share breast cancer stories from young people like you've never read or heard before. We also strive to inspire you to write your story like you've never written it before. Stay to the end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. Our producer is Bill Smith of Shoe Production, and our production assistant is Monica Harrow. If you want more on the life-changing transformation to be had from telling your breast cancer stories, please head to wildfirecommunity.org. You will find a copy of the issue shared in today's episode, our archives, and you can take a writing workshop with me. There's no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop, and I want you to experience it for yourself. Discover how to write your way back to yourself, write your way to reclaiming your body and your story. And if you got value out of today's conversation, please take a moment and share it. If you share it on social, you can tag me. I'm Wildfire BC Community. You can tag Tara as well at Tara Coyote or the Kauai Mermaid. And don't forget to subscribe to The Burn and listen to it wherever you go. All right, your writing prompt is inspired by my chat with Tara today. And the prompt is, to live large, I need to. To live large, I need to. Set your timer for 10 minutes and write without stopping. See what needs to come out and where it will take you. And if you find that you write best with a good prompt, I have many, many more for you at wildfirecommunity.org/free. All right, happy writing. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take good care.